Please be seated. Last week, as I walked down Main Street, I found myself peering into the stores. I was enjoying the various holiday displays as I went, so I began thinking about the effort that had gone into them, wondering who might have conceived of each of these unique displays. How many man hours had been spent in preparing them for the Christmas stroll? Some of the windows were painted up in wintry scenes, while others were spotless, clearly having been washed as part of the preparations to ensure that myself and other shoppers might have an unobstructed view of the fake snow. Shiny ornaments, tinsel, and every other conceivable means of inviting me to come in. Brightly colored signs advertising new items and sales of 10, 15, and even 20% off. Christmas trees and a whole host of sites were effectively doing what they were created to do, which is draw my attention. And since I was already in shopping mode looking for that perfect something for my perfect someone, my eyes moved back and forth from one window to the next when I was suddenly captivated by one particular sign, which honestly seemed out of place. Like that iconic segment of Sesame Street, one of these things is not like the other. One of my favorites, actually. Amidst all the signs and scenes that intended to sell me Christmassy products and instill a kind of nostalgic Rockwellian innocence was one sign that read, "Prepping supplies here. It's better to have it and not need it." And although I must admit that the particular store which was advertising the Doomsday Essentials is a favorite of mine, I was still slightly startled as my thoughts were redirected from joy to the world to the end of the world as we know it. While the stark contrast was only slightly shocking to my system, I still began to grow a little uncomfortable. But this discomfort was less about the morbid shift in ideas and more about the sensation which had been growing in me ever since I turned the corner and stepped onto Main. A feeling that I had been somehow walking in a winter wonderland, or becoming a character in one of the Christmas puzzles my mother likes to do this time of year. It made me uncomfortable just how quickly I had willingly participated in something that I knew to be fun and warming, and yet nonetheless untrue. The sign reminded me that while the product being advertised by this particular store was not like the others, they are one and all products. Something to be purchased. An answer, good, bad, or indifferent, to some human question or need, either real or perceived. The perfect serving platter for your Christmas dinner with family and friends. Beautiful earrings for my beautiful wife. A hideous sweater for your neighbor's ugly sweater party. And dehydrated eggs for that time when the last can of Vienna sausages has been looted from the shelf at Ridley's. And along the lines of my earlier confession, I must also admit that I am inclined toward all of these. What's more, with the exception of the one that has me standing right here, right now, preaching to you, all of my other jobs have involved my attempt to sell or rent you something. And honestly, I was pretty good at my jobs, regardless of the product or the need. You see, as a salesman, I can answer all kinds of questions that you didn't even know you had. And in that way, sales isn't terribly different than ministry. But needless to say, I was and am now still grateful for this awakening of my senses. But more than just being grateful for the wake-up call regarding the commercialism of what the secular world likes to call the holidays, I became happy for that stark contrast of ideas, because it reminded me that this is not the Christmas season. This is, in fact, Advent. And the season of Advent, as you might have gleaned from our readings, is all about contrast. Advent is a season that points us both in the direction of now and not yet. By the Gospel reading, we can see that Advent is as much about what is yet to come as it is about remembering what has already come to pass. The key to walking faithfully through this Advent is acknowledging that our focus is to be on both the incarnation of God that has already taken place in that first Christmas, as well as remembering the promised second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Advent is about recognizing that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, while trusting that this isn't the last word on the matter. That the Word is in fact coming again to complete what he has already begun. In one sense, Advent is about accepting that we who now live by faith in Jesus Christ alone are living in a kind of no man's land. A place where having a store of potable water might actually seem appropriate. As we are called to live lives between the first and second coming of Christ. But an important point of accepting our place in this time is accepting that this time is given to us with a purpose. As Paul reminds the church in Thessalonica, this is not idle time for us to spend as we wish, like we might a Christmas bonus or that gift card we're hoping to receive in our stocking. This is time for work, a time to have God strengthen our hearts in holiness, a time to grow in love for one another, a time to allow God to direct our way, that we might be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. And in that sense, there is one sign on Main Street that comes closest to what I might call an Advent sign. Amidst the jumble of signs and displays that want to jump the gun, so to speak, taking us from Thanksgiving immediately into a feeding frenzy of holiday consumerism, signs of a season which, often blithely labeled as Christmas, one sign actually hints at a word of truth. The end is indeed near, and prepping is absolutely what we should be doing. Advent is nothing if not a season of preparation. But I'm guessing if you check the list of supplies you'll be needing, you won't find ornaments or sweaters or earrings on it. But likewise, nor will you find powder hangs, or potable water, or gas-powered generators, or shovels, or ammunition. In fact, if you look closely, you will not find one single product on that list of supplies. And this is where the one sign gets it wrong. Because anything that we can possibly gather ourselves will be absolutely worthless when the end comes. And yet we had better be ready and willing to make room for all of those wonderful things which God wants to build up in us, for what the preppers call doomsday. Because it's all the items on the list that Paul has just given us, direction and love and strength and holiness. It's all the things we're going to want to have on hand when what Jesus prophesied in our gospel actually comes to pass. The most ironic thing about this kind of preparation, Advent prepping, let's call it, the place where all of the signs on Main Street get it completely wrong, is that this kind of prepping requires us to give away and not to store up. You see, we are strongest in our faith when we work to strengthen faith in others. Love is not something that can be hoarded. I assure you, it expires the instant you stuff it in a cupboard. Sure-footed direction cannot take us on the path to God if we refuse to lead others along that way. And holiness cannot be locked away or stored up. If you don't believe me on this one, ask any scribe or Pharisee that ever tried to challenge our Lord. Any day now our Lord will be coming, and when he gets here, we are not going to want to be caught off guard. Woe to the one to whom our Lord comes and finds a bunker full of rotting spiritual supplies, or an untouched store of the very things he has given us and commanded us to share with the world. Love and forgiveness and mercy and humility and strength, holiness, faith, and so on. The list is longer than Santa's. Advent is the season when we are supposed to look at those Old Testament promises from prophets like Jeremiah, to hear the promise of a righteous branch springing up from what we thought to be a dead tree, and recognize that God was faithful to that promise in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. And then to make that next logical connection, to acknowledge that the one who is faithful to that promise has also promised to come again, to complete the work he has begun in his church. Advent is a time to regard the tension between the now and the not yet, to give thanks for the Word of God made flesh, and to make preparations for his coming again, to prepare a place for him in our own lives and hearts, and also in the hearts and lives of those who would otherwise find themselves unexpectedly standing before the Son of Man. The birth pangs we spoke of a few weeks ago have already begun. In fact, they began the moment we crucified him. Folks, the leaves are on that tree. The end is near. That much has been decided for us. What we still have left to decide is how we will prepare the way of the Lord. What preparations are still left to be done? What are we still hoarding? What might we be called to bring out of our stores and share with an unprepared world? And the all-important question, who out there has yet to hear the invitation from Christ to come in? Christmas will be here before we know it. Are we ready? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.